Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm glad the president passed health care.
But it does sort of remind me of Groundhog Day in the sense that Senator Bunning did this a couple of weeks ago.
Well, for one thing, I am thrilled to get to meet Sarah Palin.
That's very tough to swallow.
Oh, it's big.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show. The news, what it's talking about. Coming up this hour, Professor Emory Clayton joins us to discuss the threatening and demeaning treatment of politicians after the health care vote. Plus, did you wear your HIV positive T-shirt today? Did you? Huh? You didn't? Neither did we, but we'll find out who did. 877-876-PHIL. We also have coming up with us next hour the liberal blogger, and he also does a lot of liberal polling for our show. Jack Armstrong joins us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Now, yesterday, we did a small amount of reporting on and commenting on the email that was passed by a Maine politician, some elected representative of the people of Maine, that showed Michelle Obama in comparison to a gorilla. This was passed along, and it was eventually covered by some other people there in the office this woman worked in. It went public, and it was the latest in a string of these ridiculous and offensive images of Michelle Obama, the first lady of our country, being compared to an ape. And the people that do this know full well what they're doing. Now, that was on top of all of this rancorous talk having to do with health care, threats that were claimed by some, threats of violence that were claimed by some, and so forth. Joining us here is Professor Emory Clayton. He's a professor of African-American studies and urban studies at L.A. Canyon College. Professor, always good to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Phil.
What is going on in the country? What do you feel? What do you sense? What is it just this? Is it the sleeping white racist behemoth beginning to rear his ugly head? Is it the is it a handful of bad apples, as people were trying to tell me today? What do you think it is?
Well, I don't think that you have to look very far. I think all you have to do is look at the history of this country. I think you know, and I think any right-thinking, intelligent human being that calls himself a citizen of this country understands the history of this country. There is a history of racial strife. There is no question. And this is as recent as the 1960s in terms of the violent expression of the demand for rights on the part of black people. But we've had racial strife in this country all the way on up to and including the election of 2008, where we had the threats against Acorn and against some communities by right-wing extremists that they would disrupt the voting and would disrupt the election of this black man, this proud black man as president of the United States. You asked me about Michelle Obama, and I will tell you straight out, of course it's racism. There's no question that it's racism. And of course it is, I think, an aspect of racism when these Democratic and progressive politicians are targeted. And
now, you know that when you call Democrat and progressive politicians, you know that this is kind of a term people don't like, you know?
Well, I'm not interested right now in what people like or dislike. I'm telling you that I am in favor of a health care plan that the president, not only the president sponsored, but got passed, but I think that the individuals that voted for this health care plan are progressive politicians. They are forward-thinking politicians, and they were, some of them, victimized by a reactionary right wing. And we're talking about these telephone threats that you heard. I heard these telephone threats yesterday that were played on your program and on other people's broadcast that I thought were beyond the pale, threatening, in my opinion, death and violence on well-meaning individuals. And yes, I call that racism.
Now, these were white people that they were threatening in the case of the... Are you talking about the threats?
Well, they might have been white people. Yes, I'm talking about the threats to Bart Stupak and others, yes.
All right, well, okay, so it doesn't matter?
No, it doesn't matter to me because this is racism, pure and simple. The racist intent of these people to keep this health care plan from passing, and the racism they're showing toward a Representative Stupak, or the racism that they might be showing toward a Representative Hoyer,
Because they're white men, you don't see that it is still a racist attack?
It is a racist attack by proxy, because if you attack a white man who speaks on behalf of health care, you are attacking a black man. You understand what I'm saying?
All right, I mean...
When you attack a white man speaking on behalf of the disenfranchisement authorities in this country you're speaking, you are, in point of fact, you are attacking a black man. I can tell you that Representative Cleaver, Representatives Lewis, and Representative Clyburn are black, and they got threats. And you know that Representative Cleaver was spit on as he walked up the steps of the Capitol building.
Now, can I ask you about that?
As he walked up the steps of the Capitol building, he was spit on, and he tried to ask the man, "Why did you spit on me?" And the man did not even have the courage to answer the question.
Let me just ask you one thing here, Professor, because what happened was, and even Representative Cleaver said this, he was coming up the steps, and a guy was screaming at him, and it was spittle that flew from the man's mouth, and Representative Cleaver was hit with the spit, and turned and looked at the man and said to him, "You spit on me."
Yes, and the man did not respond at all. The man did not respond at all.
But Representative Cleaver didn't even say that he was spit on so much as that the man, it was an inadvertent being hit with saliva.
Well, Representative Cleaver can be as forgiving and as broad-minded as he wants, but I don't know where it's written that you get hit with saliva. That's called spit, where I come from, you know.
But all I'm saying is that Breitbart.com and...
Well, Breitbart.com, don't make me laugh. Breitbart.com, next thing you want to tell me that Fox has done an investigation, Fox News, and Fox News feels that that was an inadvertent saliva tossing or something, and that certainly was... this is called spit, Phil. I don't know where you come from or what you call being spit on, but where I come from, you get hit with a man's saliva, you have been spit on. And so it goes. And the point that I'm making is, whether they're white or whether they're black, the people that are being threatened, it is a racist attack.
And Representative Hoyer being white, or Representative Stupak being white, or any of these others, by proxy, they're black?
I didn't say that at all. I said please listen to what I'm saying.
You said that it is racist.
I'm saying to you that when you attack anyone advocating for people of color, people who are disenfranchised, but you attack any of them, you're attacking a black man. I don't. If it was you, I'd say you're black. And that to my way of thinking, is the best possible way of viewing these situations so as not to become entangled in the propaganda net that these right wingers try to throw on these things. So, now, there's one other thing I wanted to mention.
Well, before you do that, I had some tape I wanted to play for you, because it was not just the right wingers per se that were doing the attacking. In one instance, it was the right winger that was being attacked, and if you want to call her a right winger, it's Jean Schmidt. She's a Republican congressperson. She was called in her office by a disgruntled member of the electorate, someone who decidedly was opposed to her. And here is the call that this is Jean Schmidt getting a call. She's a Republican.
Yes, I'm glad the president passed health care. Yeah. You funky ass, racist ass Republicans hate that, don't you? Jean Schmidt, when you got hit by that car or when you fell or whatever, you should have broke your back, bitch. You and Boehner and Mitch McConnell, all you racist fucking Republicans. Why don't y'all just change our party name to racist? Because if one of those teabaggers would have spit on me, I'd have shot them in the face with my 9mm. Call you racist mother.
So
what you want me to say about that? You want me to say that I disapprove of that?
I'm just saying that that's a. Do you not disapprove of that? That's a person from the left attacking a Republican congressperson.
I'm not gonna engage in that kind I'm not gonna engage in these kinds of hypotheticals, Phil. I'm not gonna engage in these kinds.
Well, that's not hypothetical. That's an actual caller to Gene Schmidt's office. She's a Republican congressperson, and she was obviously the target of that man's virulence. And you know, obviously, he's a supporter of health care.
Yeah, but I'm not going to dignify your question with a response. You're trying to get me involved in a hypothetical situation, but what if? What if?
No, it's not what if. It happened.
I understand it happened. I understand it happened. But you're trying to compare that to these other races that call these other representatives in a very racist manner. You see what I'm saying? Sending monkey pictures and this kind of thing. And
why would you not consider, and I'm not saying that it is, why would you not consider what that man's language, or at least that man's verbal posture, why wouldn't you consider that racist?
I didn't hear anything racist coming from that man. I heard a lot of threatening things coming from that man. But I have to tell you something, Phil.
Well, I didn't hear any threatening things either, coming racist things coming from these people, these opponents of health care.
Well, then you did not hear anything racist coming from opponents of health care. Everyone that's opposed to health care on some level sees it as a bailout for blacks, you see. And that's what causes them the consternation that they have, the bailout for the underclass. Now, let me explain something to you. I heard that man.
You haven't answered my question.
Hold on.
You haven't answered the question I had. Why would you give that guy a pass that was attacking Gene Schmidt and say it's a hypothetical? You heard it. Okay, why don't you give him a pass and everybody else gets indicted?
I heard that man. I heard a black man angry. The GOP is not the party of the black man. So any angry calls to the Republican Party, you have to understand, see, the GOP is not the party. Any angry calls to the Republicans, quite frankly, understandable.
Oh, come on. I mean, that guy was talking about he'd take a 45 and blow away those Tea Party people.
No, I have to tell you again. That I do not countenance, nor do I encourage, nor do I like that kind of language. But you have to look at that kind of thing. Do I understand that? I have to tell you, I heard that man. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like anyone saying I'm going to take a gun and shoot someone. But there was a side of me that was smiling. And
how could you say you're smiling and...
Now hold on, because I haven't finished saying what I'm saying. There was a side of me that was smiling a little bit. Because I was listening to a proud black man standing up to this racist who decided she'd throw a vote against something that was going to help millions of Americans, and he had finally had it with all of the bricks through the windows and monkey pictures of Michelle Obama, and finally said what he had to say. So I don't agree with what he said. I don't like the idea of him threatening people with guns, but by the same token, he is talking about the Republican Party, which has never represented the black man in this country. And there is nothing. What is there to defend? See,
well, a lot of people are going to call you a hypocrite. You know that.
Can't call me a hypocrite.
Yeah, you can call you a hypocrite if you don't like the violent talk concerning the Democrats. You can't like the violent talk concerning the Republicans.
I don't like the violent talk concerning the Republicans. I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all.
But there was a part of you smiling.
There's a part of me that is going to say that is understandable, considering how many years African-American people have sat underneath the squat of white America and the Republican Party. That's why it's understandable to me.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, your calls for Professor Emory Clayton. As you're basically saying, you forgive a black man getting angry at a Republican congressperson, but not anybody getting angry at Democrats. 877-876-PHIL.
That's not what I said at all. I said that I smiled a little bit when I heard that brother, what he said. But I also, if they were to ask me officially, I would officially say I condemn it.
Well, I'm asking you right now officially, so you condemn it.
I condemn it, yes. But I have to say I did smile when I heard that brother. When he said the things he said, I had to... got to chuckle myself, that's all.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So he officially condemns it, but he had to chuckle to himself when he heard a black guy threatening Gene Schmidt. However, on the other side, Democrats shouldn't be threatened. Professor Emory Clayton, always a treat. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Seven seven eight seven six. Phil, this is the world famous Phil Hendry Show on the air tonight. as we roll out our brand new website design at www.philhenryshow.com. Check it out. Take a look at the live audio and video feed that we've got going. And right now we're talking with Professor Emory Clayton of L.A. Canyon College, a professor of urban studies and African-American studies. And really, this is it's an interesting, and our number by again is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I don't want to race through that. Professor Clayton, before we get to some phone calls, I just want to be clear. You know, I'm sure you've heard it from people. If you say that a Democratic congressperson who is threatened by, someone who's opposed to health care, whether it's a phone call, whether they've had a brick through the window, whether it's just spit inadvertently flying from a man's mouth, you think they are the group to be indicted and not necessarily a man such as this black man who called Gene Schmidt's office, who said, I would have shot those Tea Party people. I'm glad you got hit by a car. You think that man is less threatening?
I didn't say that at all, Phil. I wish you would not mischaracterize what I said.
All right.
What I said was, I do not approve of what that man said. Now, you cannot help, and you can't tell me, because I'm a black man, you can't tell me that I've got no right. I got no right at all. That when I hear that brother say to that woman, you know something, if anybody spit on me, I'll take my .45 and I'll put one right between their eyes. You can't tell me I've got no right to smile. And
well, why would you say that? Because
I'm going to tell you why I say that.
Because you're going to have a white man, let's just go ahead and say it, who is opposed to health care, saying exactly the same thing. I'll smile if somebody put one through.
Because it doesn't make any sense. See, every time a white man says, you know, this or that about a black person, every time someone says something about Michelle Obama looking like a monkey, it doesn't make any sense, you see. That's insanity. Because the black man never did a thing to that man for him to make Michelle Obama look like a monkey. He never did a thing to that man to make him look for a picture of a monkey to compare to the first lady of this country. And yet black people have a list of grievances. We have a list of crimes that we could go before the court of God, the court of infinity, of timelessness, and present our case, and we'd have a very good case indeed. And these terrorists in the Tea Party, this terror of the snowflake, as I call it.
Now you're calling the Tea Party terrorists, huh?
I call them terrorists, yes I will. They call up and say they're going to put a brick through my house. They say they're going to do this or that, and they spit on that one man. Yes, that's a terrorist. Yes, that's a terrorist. That's what we're up against since 9/11, that kind of thing. The terror of the snowflake. And I'm not the kind of man to be afraid of a snowflake. I played hockey when I was a young boy. Growing up in the northeast of this country, they said the Maple Leafs are coming to town. I said, that don't scare me. That don't scare me at all, a Maple Leaf.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here. We have Diana on the line in Redwood City, California, listening on KNEW. Go ahead, Diana.
Hi. I just wanted
yes,
to
ma'am.
Comment that it's a very sad state that we're in, that our educators are not teaching truth. I mean, the fact is it is the Democratic Party that didn't want to have a slavery clause in the Constitution. It was the Democratic Party that didn't want to free the slaves. It was the Democratic Party that didn't want to give people rights.
Let's not talk about the 21st
century. It was the Democratic Party who did not
want to vote.
But that's not the case now,
you know, and we could talk about the Whig Party, too. We could talk about the Federalist Party. It's a different political party now, ma'am. That's ridiculous to say Mississippi. Do you indict Mississippi because Mississippi had some of the most racist laws in the land, or do you give them a chance to grow out of that and become a great state? The same thing goes for any southern state. What have you done for me lately? What have the Republicans done for the black man lately?
Well, you know, she is making a good point. It was the Republicans that were the abolitionist party.
Oh, don't give me that old saw. The Republicans. Next thing you're going to tell me, Richard Nixon was John Brown.
Well, who do you think were the slave owners? I mean, they were the Democrats. I mean, that's who they were. I mean, that's history. That's reality.
Man, that's fine. Who is opposing now health care that would benefit the underclass created by those very Democrats that you're indicting right now? Republicans, you see.
Well,
so they are in tandem.
It's another form of being enslaved. That's why. I mean, the Republicans are in tandem.
They're in tandem.
for people. I mean, they're standing up for everybody to have the same.
Are you white? Can I ask you if you're white? Are you white?
Are you black?
I'm black. Yeah. Are you white?
Yeah. Does that make a difference? Believe me,
I knew you were, and I knew you were. You remind me of the mothers of a lot of my students. It you bother me.
Because
you know.
They're concerned.
Why?
That teaching history that's not accurate.
No,
yeah, I would be.
Oh, you bother me.
Yep, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Emory Clayton. Thank you, Diana. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, she bothers me.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. I'm talking to Professor Emory Clayton from... L.A. Canyon College in northern Los Angeles County. We're discussing here tonight the rancorous, really frightening and rancorous noise around the health care debate. And, of course, and Professor Emory, Professor Clayton, I never said that I approve of any such thing. The First Lady, somebody making her look like a gorilla.
I didn't say that you did, Bill. I'm not accusing you of that. What I'm accusing you of, if you will, if you want to call it an accusation, of what I'm characterizing you as, is an individual playing it down the middle. You're going to take tapes of my interview. You interview a black professor of urban studies from a northern L.A. County college, as you put it, and you take it over to McDonald's so you can prove you've got an urban audience. And look, I've got this black man on my show, and let's get some of these quarter-pounder eaters to listen to the program. This is denigrating to black people.
Who said I was going to take this interview to McDonald's?
I can well see you doing that, is what I'm trying to say. Now, there was another point I wanted to make.
No, I wasn't going to do that at all. And we're talking about something. I told you that I find that hateful stuff. The call to Congresswoman Schmidt's office was very frightening. I could see how that really would scare the hell out of her. Guy saying she should have been run over by a car.
I did not support it.
No, but you said you gave it you smiled a little bit when you heard that brother talking about her and how, well, you know, it is kind of cool to hear a black guy saying...
Well, what about the terror of the snowflake, the Tea Party?
The terror of the snowflake? We're talking about the rancorous and ugly conversation that's going on both sides around this topic.
Every single person in this country that is afraid to take a stand says the same thing. I don't like violence on either side. I think this is wrong on either side. And I agree, it is wrong on either side. It's very wrong on either side. It just so happened, when I heard that white woman telling me all about how Democrats used to be slaveholders, I got upset because I don't need someone that sounds like the best friend that my wife's trying to make down at Kroger's suddenly saying, oh, and by the way, tell your husband that Democrats were slave owners, and if they were, if they had their way, your husband, he would just be the bright Negro in the parlor that might go to fight for the Massachusetts unit that went down there.
Okay, I mean you're taking this.
No, I'm telling you very, very sincerely.
You're taking it really far out here. 877. What do you mean the Negro in the parlor? Here is Rashad in Miami. Go ahead, Rashad. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I'm taking this very seriously.
I want to state my position. I'm not in agreement with violence being spoken from either side. Okay, so we as Americans...
You've got to take a stand.
We should be showing better examples. We can disagree. We have different opinions. We can have the political strategies that we have going on. But when we let it on either side...
Mm-hmm.
However, I will say this, Phil, that when Rush Limbaugh said we should wipe them out, when I heard someone else on another show say we're pulling out our rifles, we are doing this and doing that, the Tea Party, the Republican, everybody else should have been coming out saying that was wrong. So
that's right.
I'm not in agreement with when the black guy called and made the comment, but normally it's in response to what has
that's my point.
If you understand
what I'm saying.
Everyone, what's right and what wants the best for this country have to speak out. Don't wait till someone of color decides to respond to something that has been taken too far. I guarantee you, if the right wing or if the Tea Party had not had the comments and they would be in disagreement with the health bill, that's one thing. If they were not saying what they were saying, I doubt if you would have got any response of that nature from a person of color, because, first of all,
that's exactly my point. That's exactly my point. When
president.
That black man,
we got
when
to
that
work,
black man comes,
no matter who's
that's
in
exactly
the
right.
But I run.
All right. Well, I want to ask a question. Let me ask a question here, if I could,
sure.
Gentlemen.
What that gentleman just said is exactly my point. We aren't going to come out talking all this mess. I heard that white man, I heard all them white people calling up those Congress people and calling them out and saying they are this and that and going to kill them. They hope they die. They hope they go to the devil. Not one black man that gets a call to Gene Smith or whoever and says, if a white man spit on me, I'd take my gun. You better believe you take your gun. All right? And so what I'm trying to say, and I want to ask this brother a question. I wanted to have a million casket march. A million casket march.
Wait a minute. We're getting off.
Hold on. I said to this man, I'm going to have a million casket march. He said, how are you going to march if you're laying in a casket? That's the kind of smart ass that they want to be, you see. So go ahead.
What? Okay. All right. Go ahead, Rashad. We want to make a final point? Go ahead. Yeah, make a final point, Rashad. Go ahead.
Just that. I'm going to make one thing, and just give me this second. Again, what happens? I'm speaking from a person being a part of African American race.
Get me a doctor,
what happens get me a is, doctor, based on the prejudice and the racism that's been heaped on us for all these years, when we respond in certain ways, then the question is, he was wrong. But we should be again approaching the thing from the beginning. When we see the ugly snake raise its head, wherever it comes from, we should take it off. We should be standing up for what's right. We may disagree. But if we don't have that in our backbone, then this country don't want to turn inside on itself.
Well, what do you think about them telling me that I'm going to, how am I going to have a million casket march when I'm laying in a casket? I thought that white man was trying to be smart-ass with me.
Of course.
And I found that wrong. All right.
Thank you, Rashad. Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. I don't understand the point that you were making there. Here is Tony. Tony listening to us on KNEW tonight in San Francisco. Tony, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you. Hello. Good evening. I just want to say that I'm a
good evening.
Black man, and I'm not African-American. I'm American, first of all. Second of all, Professor, I don't agree with you on everything you're saying, bro. I just want to say that I'm glad that
young man. Young man, you've got to be African-American. You've got to.
Let this young man finish, will you, Professor?
No, I'm an American, Professor. I don't have nothing to do with Africa. I'm an American. And secondly, I'm glad that those Tea Party people are doing what they're doing, standing up for our country, man. They seeing what Barack Obama's doing to our country. It's the wrong time to do care reform right now. It's the wrong time.
It's a hell of a time for you to go white. It's a hell of a time for you to bleach out. Hell of a time for you to bleach out.
What do you mean bleach out?
No.
That's offensive.
No. Now, this young man, you have bleached out. And
that is a. I'm not going to let you say that. I want this young man to finish what he's saying. You want to start calling people names?
No.
Who I called names?
You're talking about the terror.
And not all those Tea Party people are racist like that. You may have a couple of knuckleheads, just like you have a knucklehead in any type of movement. But I'm just glad that those Tea Party, and I'll be down there joining them. I just want to say that.
Going to be down there joining them.
Thank God for
you know what they're going to? They're going to dress you up in wingtips. They're going to put you in a little Lord Fauntleroy suit. Oh, man. They're going to conk your hair. And you know what? You're going to stand there walking down the street with a string tie? You want to do that? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to sell out your people walking down the street in a bow tie.
Wait, he's not selling anybody out. He's an American.
Hey, black people, look at what we have here in this country. Black colleges. We got black entrepreneurs, black millionaires. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
Why?
I was making money when Bush was in office back in the early 2000s. I was making big money, man. How can you come by and say that, man? We do have.
You were talking about making big money.
But that's, that stuff. We're
all that money dried up.
We're moving out of sight.
I make some pretty good. I make good cheese, too. But I'll tell you something. When they started pulling all that urban money out, I was on my ass, and excuse my language, but they had to, I swear to God, they had to do an assendectomy, as my wife used to call it.
Well, because you didn't get any federal bread for real estate development?
Oh, I get it. So I ain't a businessman at all. I need Uncle Sam, huh?
That's what you're telling me. You're telling me you need to have federal bread to get all that stuff going. Here's a young man who started his own business and was making money from a customer base, okay?
I'm afraid, I'm just sad to hear that this young man decided of all the time to start to bleach. And
well, you know, this bleach thing. Listen, Tony, I thank you very much for your call. No, it's wrong. And Professor Clayton, you have to come out and say it. The anger and this rancor on both sides is wrong. Okay.
Look, I want to ask this young man. Do you love? I want to ask you, young man. Are you there? Is the young man there? Is your girlfriend? I'm going to ask you. Your girlfriend white? Yeah. See, he hung up. Yeah. He hung.
Well, I think he thought that we had cut him off. 877-876 Phil. Let's go over to Seth. Seth, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
Hello, sir. Hey, Professor, I got a question to ask you. With the whole threat thing, and you said that a part of you condones his threat. And like I told Phil, I'm a police officer, and I'm from Texas, and there's laws in Texas that you cannot call somebody and leave a threatening message like that. It's actually called terroristic threat. And from what you're saying is...
I know all about the terrorists. That man said that if somebody... That congressman got spit on. He got spit on. He said if a man spit on me, I would do this and so. He didn't utter a threat. He said if.
He got spit on in a projectile argument when I was yelling. And you know that happens to me, but I don't pull my gun out on a nightly basis and threaten to kill somebody because they.
That ain't what a man said. Look at. Are you trying to tell me that if you're arresting a man and he spit on you, you wouldn't want to soften him up a little bit? Come on now.
That's not right.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
He's a police.
Oh yeah, it's not right. There's a whole lot of things that ain't right. I should have been faithful to my wife. You know, I should have paid my child support. Right. There's all kinds of
what
things.
What I'm saying is a part of you is condoning somebody, and you said this. And I'm trying to understand what you said. Where you said that you're condoning it. A part of you condones it because of the fact that the guy comes from a racial line that has had oppression. Is that what you said?
Yes, exactly. Exactly what
okay,
I said.
Okay, come
exactly
out. Let me finish. Okay, you said yes. Let me ask you this.
No, I'm talking about Snowflake. I'm talking about Tea Party Snowflake. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, let me ask you this. So you're saying that's okay because of his past. So should we condone the terroristic terrorists of extremists and stuff like that because they claim to be oppressed in the past? Should we start condoning that too?
I didn't condone anything. I said he was wrong. I just happened to have a spot on my face.
And my point here is that regardless of what's happened to you in the past or what's going on or anything like that, violence is violence, threats are threats, and none of it should be condoned at all for any reason.
As well as I do, Seth, if Congresswoman Schmidt had gotten a call from an angry white man, she wouldn't care, but a black man called her, and she got all mad because he got uppity on her. You know that as well as I do.
Whether he's white, black, orange, freaking, multicolored, it's a threat regardless.
You're arresting someone on a Friday night and he spit on you, you take him behind the car and soften him up a little bit.
There's charges for that. It's a felony charge to spit on
yes,
a police officer
could get in trouble, okay?
Wait,
hold on.
Can I finish the story, please?
Okay.
We want to have a million casket march. He said, how are you going to march if you're laying in a casket? And I said, all right, I'll give you that. That I didn't think of that. But why are you bringing that up in front of all these people to embarrass me? And the reason why he did that is because he's white.
And once again, I'm saying that was inappropriate and that it should not be tolerated. But what you're saying is that something else happens, and you're a little bit in agreement with it should be tolerated. I'm saying you can't play both sides. You got to pick a side. You know what I'm saying?
I've had people
tell me that they were gonna rape my children in the back of the car because they didn't agree with me.
Oh God, you're kidding me. Ugh.
I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
And you know
that's terrible, officer.
Police officer. before I was a police officer, I was a Marine with two tours to Iraq. So, yes, I've been threatened before. All right?
Wait, hold on a second. You went to Iraq. You went to Iraq. You're taking pot shots at some towel head is the way you call them, right? Don't you call them towel head over there?
And, come on. Let's not. Does it mean you got to be anti-cop and anti-soldier?
I don't like the whole thing. I got to have a million cash to march.
I was with.
You don't have to defend your actions, Seth.
United States Marines. I was embedded with 3rd Iraqi Quick Reaction Force, which means I lived, ate, slept, worked with, laid my life on the line with Iraqis.
With Iraqi soldiers. That's outstanding, Seth.
Wait a minute. He said he was with something called a Union Oil. What?
Union Oil. He said Anglico, which is the combined American-Iraqi force, right, Seth?
Anglico, what we do is we do Air Force. It's called Air Naval Gunfire Liaison Company.
What they do is when foreign
militaries need American assets, they utilize us to be the communication between the people, to call in the airstrikes, the artillery, and stuff like that. Because right now Iraq does not have that capability. Yeah.
But I just want to be clear about something. You do not condone a white man telling me that I need to rethink my million casket march.
No, we don't.
You know what? I'm going to say that. I do not condone that. Seth.
All right. That's all I want to know. Then you know what? I had you all wrong, young man. I had you all wrong. I appreciate that.
Why am I wrong?
All right, Seth. No, he said he had you all wrong.
I think you're a good man. Because you know that man was being racist.
All right. Thank you very much, Seth. 87. I got to run, man. 877-876-PHIL. And more of your phone calls coming up here for Professor Emery Clayton. And, you know, Professor Clayton, are you there?
I'm right here, yes. But you got me worked up, and I appreciate that. I know this is a talk show, Phil.
Well, hold on for a minute. I don't understand what's racist about a guy telling you if you're going to have a million casket march, how are you going to march if you're laying in the caskets?
It is blatantly racist. That snowflake tried to embarrass me in front of my community, in my neighborhood, standing for something positive in the community.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back with Professor Emery Clayton.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, with the final few moments here with Professor Emery Clayton. And I'm disappointed in the conversation we've had this evening, Professor Clayton.
Hold on.
I'm disappointed because I have not heard what I would consider to be a fair-minded man. I respect you, and I know that you have considered me to have suspect motives.
I have never considered you to have suspect. I think that's wrong of you to say. I think that's very unfair of you to say.
Did you not say to me this evening that I have you on strictly to take the tape down to McDonald's so we can get a more urban, prove that we have an urban audience to get advertisers?
I said that is the life of a white man on the radio. And the life of a black man on the radio is to be that interview subject so the white man can take the tape and say, look, I interviewed myself a black man, and I want to go down to McDonald's. I get some advertising, so that black man's children that go to the drive-thru with a walk-up, more likely, who get that quarter pounder with cheese, or the new double QP with cheese, or however you want to say it, I get advertising on my show. Now, I want to say something about that million casket march.
Hold on for a minute. That's a whole lot of unfair there. I'll tell you that.
Well, Phil, don't start crying on me now, okay? I don't think I can take it.
No, I'm not going to cry. 877-876-PHIL. We'll go over to a phone call here in San Antonio. Letitia, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi. I was calling because I heard the comment about the Million Casket March, and I'm an African-American woman, and I don't understand how the comment was racist either. Who's in the casket?
I said to this man, I want you to help me organize. This is a white police officer of the city of Washington, D.C. I said, to follow up the Million Man March, I want to illustrate how many young black people we've lost, the Million Casket March. He said, fine, but how are you going to march while you're laying in a casket? And I said, that is racist because you're looking to make me look stupid.
But you didn't have an answer for him.
And you're trying to make me look stupid in front of this young black woman, aren't you?
No, I'm just asking. Well, what was your... Go ahead, Latif. I'm sorry, but I don't think I'm asking an unfair question.
Was it racist or was it just mean-spirited, though? I mean, it was the same thing he could have said to anybody. It didn't necessarily have to be racist. It could have just been mean-spirited.
Or can I ask a question? Maybe it made sense.
Now, see this lady... What do you mean?
And that too, because I was wondering who's in the casket? How you marching?
I'm in the casket because I'm a black man that's been murdered by white America.
Then how do you march?
You see, you smart ass, this is what I'm talking about. Obviously, you're right. I can't march. You're right. But why do you got to be a smart, make me look like a dumbass in front of this young black woman?
Well, what the hell, man? I'm not making you look like a dumbass. If you're going to march, you march. If you're laying in a casket, you can't march.
Is that right?
Yes.
If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And I'm not trying to argue anything. It just it didn't make sense.
Yeah, but he said that on purpose.
And I think you just got to take it by.